You know the feeling? Smooth air at cruise? A pie rep from 45 minutes ago said light chop over the mountains ahead? So you think, all right, light chop? I can handle that. And then the air turns to gravel. The problem with turbulence forecasting has always been this. We are trying to predict something invisible, three-dimensional, and constantly moving. And for most of aviation history, the only tools we had were a pilot willing to write it down and call it in, and atmospheric models that could only hint at where the rough air might be hiding. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to dig into the technology that is quietly changing that equation. There is now a turbulence forecast product built on something fundamentally different from the subjective pilot reports that have always formed the backbone of airborne turbulence data. It is called the Graphical Turbulence Guidance, and the observation network feeding into it is something most general aviation pilots have never heard of. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down from the beginning. Pilot weather reports, or PIREPs, are genuinely valuable. They are the only report in your pre-flight briefing that comes from someone who was actually up there. But they have a structural weakness that every instrument-rated pilot should understand clearly. A PIREP is a human observation made at a specific point in space and time and reported using a subjective intensity scale. Light, moderate, severe. Those words mean different things to different pilots flying different aircraft. A heavy transport crew punching through moderate chop might not blink. A student pilot in a Cessna 172 calling that same air severe has not done anything wrong. They are describing their experience of identical air with completely different reference frames. That subjectivity problem has always made it hard to build standardized, comparable turbulence data across platforms and flight crews. And then there's the coverage problem. PIREPs are dense along busy commercial air routes and sparse almost everywhere else. If you're flying the Rockies in a Mooney or transiting the Alleghenies in an instrument current Cherokee, the PIREP density drops dramatically. You're making go or no-go decisions based on thin data. The National Weather Service and the National Center for Atmospheric Research have been working on both of those problems for years. The solution they built has two components, a better measurement standard and a way to get that measurement from thousands of aircraft automatically. The measurement standard is called Energy Dissipation Rate. The abbreviation is EDR. It is a standardized, objective, physically-based measure of atmospheric turbulence intensity. Here is the core idea. Modern commercial aircraft are flying data centers. They carry inertial reference systems, accelerometers, GPS receivers, and air data computers. All of that is already running in real time. The aircraft knows its attitude, its airspeed, its vertical acceleration with very high precision. Turbulence is fundamentally an energy exchange between the atmosphere and the aircraft. If you have precise enough instrumentation, you can compute a number that represents the turbulence intensity the aircraft is experiencing. That number is EDR. The technical description is the cube root of the turbulent kinetic energy dissipation rate. But in practical terms, it gives you a consistent, aircraft-agnostic value on a scale from 0 to 1. EDR of 0.1 or below means smooth to very light turbulence. 0.2 to 0.3 indicates light to moderate. 0.4 and above moves into moderate to severe territory. The scale does not care whether you're in a regional turboprop or a wide-body jet. It does not require the pilot to write anything down or make any report. The aircraft computes the value and reports it automatically. That automatic reporting is what changes the equation. Modern commercial aircraft transmit operational data to their airline through a data link called the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System, or ACARS. Airlines use ACARS for engine health monitoring, fuel burn, position reporting, and a range of other operational data streams. All of it flows continuously throughout the flight. Turbulence EDR data has been integrated into that same data stream. The aircraft computes its EDR value approximately once per minute. That value rides the ACARS link down to the Airline Operations Center, and from there it feeds into a collection program run by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. The whole cycle, from the aircraft sensing turbulence to a data point appearing in the NOAA system, typically takes 10 to 15 minutes. Now think about the scale of that network. Major U.S. carriers, regional operators, and a growing number of international partners are all feeding into the system. Thousands of flights are airborne at any given moment, and each one is generating EDR observations every minute. on heavily trafficked commercial corridors. The data density is something PIREP simply cannot match. The program collecting and distributing all of this is called the Meteorological Data Collection and Reporting System. Airlines participate voluntarily. The processed data flows to the NOAA Aviation Weather Center, where it becomes publicly available. Now, take that observation network and combine it with numerical weather prediction models. That combination is the Graphical Turbulence Guidance, or GTG. GTG is a gridded turbulence forecast covering the contiguous United States and adjacent oceanic airspace. It steps forward in approximately 3-hour increments out to 18 hours. The physical processes it identifies are the drivers of clear air turbulence, jet stream wind shear, strong temperature gradient inversions, and mountain wave generation. These are mathematically describable features in the atmosphere, and modern weather models can resolve them. What GTG does is take the model output, identify the regions where the physics suggests turbulence risk, and then calibrate those predictions against the EDR observations actually coming in from the aircraft network. The model says turbulence is likely here. The aircraft say here is what the air is actually doing. GTG combines both sources and produces a forecast that reflects both the theoretical physics and the observed reality. The product is viewable in altitude layers. You can look at what the turbulence risk looks like at flight level 330 separately from flight level 270. That altitude layer view is something that has historically been very hard to get from PIREPs alone, because coverage thins out fast when you start slicing by altitude band and geographic area simultaneously. Where do you access it? The NOAA Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov is the authoritative source. Look under the Turbulence Products section. GTG is there, along with a layer view that lets you step through the atmosphere from the surface up through the high flight levels. Some commercial electronic flight bags also incorporate the data. 4Flight offers a turbulence layer in its weather products that draws on this underlying framework. Here is what most people miss about GTG, and this part matters a lot. The product is very good at what it was designed to do, predicting clear air turbulence associated with large-scale atmospheric features. Jet stream proximity, upper-level troughs, the big synoptic scale patterns that create sustained bumpiness at cruise altitudes on commercial routes. That is where GTG earns its reliability. And that reliability has been validated against accident and incident data. It is substantially less reliable for convective turbulence. Thunderstorm-generated turbulence is intense, highly localized, and changes faster than any gridded model product can track. GTG can flag regions where convective turbulence risk is elevated, but for actual storm avoidance decisions, you still need real-time NEXRAD, you still need significant meteorological information advisories, and you still need good judgment about cell intensity and storm proximity. GTG does not replace those tools for convective weather. Mountain wave turbulence is another limitation area. The resolution of the numerical models feeding GTG is not fine enough to capture all of the terrain-induced wave activity across major mountain ranges. GTG will correctly flag elevated turbulence risk in the Rockies or the Sierra Nevada under strong synoptic flow, but the specific valleys, ridgelines, and altitude bands where the worst rotor and wave activity concentrates often require more localized forecasting products and fresh pilot reports from the area. And then there is the lower altitude coverage gap. GTG is built largely on commercial airline EDR data, and commercial airlines fly certain routes at certain altitudes. If you're flying at 8,500 feet over the central states in a Piper Archer, you are below the altitude band where most of the EDR data originates. The observational foundation is thinner at lower altitudes, and forecast confidence reflects that thinness. This is a recognized limitation, and there is active work to close it. The Tropospheric Airborne Meteorological Data Reporting System, known as TAMEDAR, is one part of the solution. TAMEDAR sensors are installed on regional turboprop and jet aircraft operated by smaller regional carriers, including Cape Air and Air Choice One, among others. Unlike commercial ACAR systems that collect primarily at cruise altitude, TAMEDAR sensors gather temperature, humidity, wind, and icing data throughout the full flight profile, from climb through cruise through descent. That fills in the lower troposphere in a way that commercial airline data alone does not. The impact on forecast quality has been documented by NOAA and the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Numerical weather forecasts generated with TAMEDAR data show measurable accuracy improvement in the lower troposphere, particularly in regions where TAMEDAR aircraft fly frequently. The data density is nothing like what the major carriers provide at the flight levels, but in the lower atmosphere over Rhodes' Tamdar aircraft fly, the picture improves. Research programs are underway to expand the observation network further. Business aviation platforms with ACAR's capability are an obvious candidate. Certain UAV operations could contribute. The technical barrier is not conceptual. The physics of the EDR measurement are well established. The question is how many platforms can be equipped to make the measurement reliably and connected to report it automatically. Let me step back and look at the bigger picture. We now have a turbulence observation network that is continuous, large-scale, nearly real-time, and physically objective. The data tells an interesting story about where turbulence risk concentrates. Within 50 miles of jet stream cores, in the vicinity of upper-level troughs, and in the lee of major terrain features under strong synoptic flow. GTG's probability of detection for moderate or greater turbulence on the commercial route structure is meaningfully better than what pilot reports alone could provide. That does not make GTG complete. The convective limitation is real. The mountain wave resolution is imperfect. The lower altitude coverage gap matters for general aviation, and turbulence retains a chaotic, small-scale character that no gridded forecast can fully capture at any spatial resolution available today. What you have is a tool that gives you a substantially better pre-flight picture of turbulence risk across the flight levels than was possible a decade ago. That is worth knowing how to use. For practical application, run GTG during pre-flight anytime turbulence is a plausible factor. Look at the altitude layers. If your planned cruise altitude shows elevated risk and a layer 2,000 feet higher or lower shows significantly lower risk, that is operationally useful information. Altitude optimization is exactly the question GTG was designed to help answer. For convective and mountain wave environments, treat GTG as background context, not conclusion. It tells you the ambient risk level. Real-time NEXRAD and local pilot reports tell you what the atmosphere is actually doing in those environments, and for flying in regions with sparse commercial traffic at lower altitudes, layer GTG with other sources rather than relying on it alone. Pilot reports from the area, mountain wave forecasts where applicable, and local knowledge still outweigh the gridded product in those environments. The NOAA Aviation Weather Center and the National Center for Atmospheric Research have published extensively on GTG and the EDR observation network. Most of that documentation is publicly available, and it is worth reading if you want to understand the product at a deeper level than I can cover in one segment. Links are at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Fly smooth.